Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Colonial Connections. This is the podcast designed by the School of Nursing, Education, and Human Studies at Robert Morris University. And I'm your host, Dr. Mark Myers, and I serve as the dean of the school. What we're talking about with Colonial Connections is the connections between our academic programs and our community at large. And there's a terrific example with our guests today. And they're from the psychology department, and I'd like to have them introduce themselves first with the department head, Dr. Samantha Monda. Dr. Monda?
Thank you, Dr. Myers. My name's Dr. Samantha Monda. I'm the Department of Psychology and Health Sciences here at Robert Morris. And my background is dual trained in both sport and exercise psychology and in mental health counseling.
Thank you. Thank you. And Dr. Pandit, how about yourself?
Hi, this is Dr. Pandit. I'm the program coordinator for the Master's in Counseling Psychology. And my background, in addition to RMU, is I'm a clinician in private practice.
That's great. Thank you so much. Now, first, I want to start off with it'd be the elephant in our rooms. Our audience wouldn't know what we're talking about, but congratulations to you both on your newly accredited master's program. And I don't care which one of you wants to start, but what's the importance of having that accreditation for your programs?
So I think that, you know, having the accreditation makes a statement about the strength of our program and the ability of graduates of our program to be able to take the National Counselor Exam, which is required for licensure, and pass.
From your standpoint, does that make a difference in also connecting with community partners in terms of getting placements for your students?
Absolutely. I think that when a student is applying to different clinical sites, being able to say that they are enrolled in an accredited program is a statement to the employers or the potential internship sites that they are duly qualified and have had all the requisite coursework to the caliber of what is necessary to succeed on the site or the employers.
So people in the audience might have heard of programs being accredited before. What does it take for your program to be accredited? What are the hurdles you have to go through?
So it was about a year process, it involved taking what the accreditation council's requirements are and kind of matching, showing them how the requirements that they have to accredit programs is present in our program. And so that involved things like displaying in our syllabi where each of their kind of concept requirements were present. It required showing that we had amply qualified faculty to teach the courses. And it involved showing that we had resources, for instance, library resources, research support, and things of that nature. So really, it was being able to show to them that our program does what it says it does, and that we are doing it well. And they asked for outcome data, and our outcome data for our graduates thus far is very positive in terms of placements, in terms of passing the National Counselor Exam, the NCE, and in terms of licensure, just our track record really supported every single statement that we made in the accreditation application.
So it's really connecting what you say you do and then the performance of your students, proving that they're actually getting the knowledge you say they're being exposed to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Dr. Monda, from your perspective as the department head, and everybody understands this year has been a very different year, so what has been the impact for your programs with the pandemic and such?
Yeah, I think the pandemic has been challenging for everyone. Specifically, I think one of the unique features of our program is that both the undergrad and our grad program require a practicum experience or internship experiences for our students. And so for our undergrads, that's the capstone experience in their senior year. And for many students, they found just because of everything that was going on that many sites were limited in their ability to take interns or were suspended just because their process and procedures had changed. So some places had to move to, you know, telehealth or remote learning and virtual experiences. Other places were limited maybe by the capacity that they could have. So even the amount of staff that they were allowed to have in a facility couldn't include an intern. So one of the things I was really proud about is our students did a lot of, they continued to reach out and they continued to try to find these sites. And so for us, we had to be flexible as a program and figure out how to help our students get the experiences that we wanted them to have prior to graduating from RMU within the limitations that we were dealing with. So a couple things in our undergrad program, we expanded some of the options for students in what they could do. So we came up with some creative alternatives for them to do to get experience with the area that they were interested in. Or we came up with an alternative class that they could take in place of that. And then with our grad students, the same thing affected them in terms of finding sites. But we really have been able to be flexible and figure out other ways for them to get their hours if they couldn't get their site. And then I think in general, just the classes were different. You know, RMU did a great job of being able to maintain on-ground presence in classes. And so especially our grad students, we really wanted to maintain that on-ground presence and have our classes be as normal as possible. And we were able to do so. But everyone kind of had to flex with some days being virtual for various reasons or to maybe change things, you know, normal things that we would do for a program instead of having a guest speaker come in. You know, we're doing it virtually and finding other ways. But I think that adds to our students because every psych student eventually, they need to learn the skill of being adaptable. It's a skill that's really important for our profession. And I think everyone is learning that right now. So I feel good that our students are going to walk away from their experience here with the ability to adapt to whatever comes their way.
When people hear you talking about internships and practicum, they picture a lot of different things, I imagine. But can you give some examples of the kind of activities that the students do for either the practicums or the internships?
Yeah. So at the undergrad level, you know, psychology is a really broad field, and it covers a lot of different sub-areas that people may not be aware of. So I think when people think of psychology, they think of mental health counseling. And a lot of our students are interested in that. We have a really strong clinical concentration, and then our master's program is devoted to mental health counseling. So some students will go into a site that is related to that. So working at Western Psych in a psychiatric hospital setting, they could be more at working with kids that have behavioral or developmental disorders. Some of our master's students have been in drug and alcohol settings. And Dr. Panik can speak to a little bit more about some of those. But at the undergrad level, we have students that are interested in things like the intersection between business and psychology. So working in business settings, you don't necessarily always have to be a business major. So, you know, working in HR departments involves a lot of psychology and understanding people and how they operate and how to have people function the most effectively together in a workplace environment. My area of specialty is in sport and exercise psychology. So we have a concentration where students can specialize working in those industries. So thinking about helping athletes to perform at their best. So they might be working with, youth sport teams, with coaches, different, you know, recreational sport programs to help enhance programming for kids or to help other people live healthier lives. So, you know, it's not just about athletes. The average person is an exerciser and they need to maintain their health habits. So how can we help them achieve those goals? So some of our students may be in placements and settings where they're helping people achieve health behaviors that they want to reach, or maybe that they are helping to manage with stress management or, smoking cessation. So there's a lot of different sites that are out there depending upon our students' interests. And we also have a lot of students who are interested in working with children. So many of our placements will give them the experience to find out if they want to work with a younger population.
Dr. Panda, how about from your perspective with the master's program?
So I think we take we try with our graduate students in the master's program to get a sense of what they see themselves doing after graduation. And then we kind of work backwards. Say, okay, this is your goal. This is the population you want to work with. How can we think about placement experiences that will expose you to that, to either kind of either emphasize for you that this is the sort of work experience you want to have, or to say, you know, and actually equally as important, I don't want to work in this type of setting. So, you know, once we have a sense of what a student is interested in, we are very lucky to be in the Pittsburgh area because essentially there is mostly any interest area we could find a placement for. So we have students that work with children that have significant behavioral problems and foster children, and we have a student that works in a psychiatric hospital with eating disordered patients and severely mentally ill and suicidal adolescents, I would say. And then we have students that work in outpatient clinics that are general mental health clinics that are housed in either a hospital or in a, you know, separate mental health setting. We have students that work with families, do really robust internships that allow them to get a lot of experience doing family therapy. And then there are really unique positions. So somebody who is working with children that are under 2 years old that have been through traumatic experiences. So we're very lucky to be able to essentially take a student's interest and match them to a site.
And it sounds at both levels that it's not only about the training that the RMU student's getting through the placement, it's also about the impact they're having in helping the community in a lot of different ways as a resource as well. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I can give you an example of that. So at the undergrad level, we are partnering with a nonprofit organization in Moon Township called Hope Grows. And so their mission is to help support caregivers, you know, caregivers of people who have family members that have serious illnesses, disabilities, children that have developmental disorders, and to help give them support and respite as a caregiver. And so one of the things that has been fantastic in doing with them is that they have placed some of our undergrad students as interns with the program. And they do a variety of roles. But one of the things that I think has been very valuable for them is that they've been able to be involved in assisting in telehealth sessions, check-in sessions with caregivers, and to really hear and listen to their stories and help them and be supportive. So they're not just learning about the process of counseling, but they're actually helping our community members throughout there and develop programming for adults, for children, and even some of you know, the local school districts in this area through this nonprofit. So it really comes full circle, and I think it's valuable for all the groups who are involved.
Did you want to add something, Dr. Pranit?
Yes, so, you know, along with what Dr. Mondes said, you know, we have a site in Moon Township, the Bradley Center, where we have, you know, quite a few students get their clinical experiences because there's so many opportunities there. And these are children that perhaps have not received supports outside of the support that they're getting at the Bradley Center, and children that have been through really traumatic experiences, as well as, you know, children that have behavioral and or psychiatric problems. And, you know, they provide, you know, invaluable support services to these kids. And we work pretty closely with that placement site. We have one of their staff members that teach up for RMU as an adjunct. And I go in once a year and I do a guest lecture on family therapy for their staff. So it's a very collaborative relationship with this site that, you know, certainly is a very strong partnership.
It's an amazing example of the give and take between the community as well, and that's amazing across the board. I did want to ask you both about, you know, you mentioned earlier that you tailor the program to the student so that they can get the experiences to get to their destination. Do the students that come into psychology, do they know when they start their freshman year, you know, do some of them know exactly what they want to do, and they do they get into an accelerated program, for instance, so that they're on the track to go right through to a master's degree?
Some do and some don't. So many students will come in and be exploring what they want to do. Maybe they fall into psychology by accident. Maybe they've taken a bunch of different core courses and they found they really love their psych class. Others may come in and decide that they knew that they wanted to be a counselor and that's what they want to do. And so we have a program that's new and really exciting. It's our accelerated bachelor's to master's degree. We call it the 3+2 program because students can get both a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in 5 years. And so this program will allow them to declare if they apply in their freshman year. And then if accepted, they take an accelerated course load for the first 3 years of their undergrad. And then they have the opportunity to continue on into the master's program. And there's some benefits there for them with the accelerated process that they're able to count 4 of their graduate classes towards their undergrad check sheet. So this saves about a year in time for them. And then also financially, there's a benefit as well. They're saving some tuition money. And so it's a really nice pathway for students who know what they want to do. But like I mentioned, there's a lot of students who don't know what they want to do in psychology. And that's the beauty of the field, is that it's attached to many different careers. And so one of the things that we try to do with our undergrad psychology students is help them to learn about all the different paths they could go. Because maybe they just thought that a psychologist is the only route. But there's so many other different things that they, one of the things our students often say is, wow, I never knew you could do that. I never knew that job existed. And so that's our job, is to expose them to those things and to talk to them and learn about them and mentor them in a way that they figure out what their interests are, and then tailor that program to help them get the experiences they need to enter into that career field.
Do you have a favorite aha moment, for lack of a better word, example from a student that they figured out something, like you said, that they didn't even know that was possible for a psychology degree?
Dr. Pannon, I don't know about you, but in sports psychology, almost every student that I work with has never heard of the field before. My general reaction when I talk to a student and they ask me what I do and I say I'm a sports, you know, I work in sports psychology, they say, oh, that's so cool. And they're like, what is that? I didn't even know that job existed. And so that's the kind of entry into these subdisciplines that, you know, we can expose our students to. In sports psych, it's really unique here in Pittsburgh that we have a cluster of professionals that are not accessible in most parts of the country. So I'm one of 3 certified mental performance consultants in the Pittsburgh or Western Pennsylvania area. And as of a few months ago, I was maybe 1 of 10 in the state of Pennsylvania. And so many people want to get into the field, but they don't really know a lot about it. So it's really exciting to share that with our students, and that aha moment when they realize, oh my gosh, I could help this group. You know, perhaps this is something that I have expertise in developing these skills and these knowledge areas. That's a viable job. That's really cool. And so those aha moments are really neat to see that with our students.
Dr. Panda, how about from your perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think I see the aha moments in going in a couple of different directions. So for instance, you know, some students come into the master's program and they are 100% sure that they want to work with children. And then they get that first practicum experience and they're like, eh, maybe not, right? And so it's a valuable aha moment, because, you know, knowing what you do want to do is just as important as knowing what you don't want to do. And then we've had, you know, several aha moments with students as well, where they're like, yes, absolutely, this is what I want to be doing. And I think the best example that I can think of for that is a student who, you know, wasn't really 100% sure about what sort of setting they wanted to work in. And they wound up being able to get placed in a geropsychiatry ward, so a ward where they work with geriatric patients, 75-plus, that are facing severe persistent psychiatric problems in addition to dementia. And he is thriving there and really has found a placement that meets and matches his personality and qualifications across the board, and is very getting the experience to be able to do this as he goes forward after graduation as well.
I love the fact that you've described in the last few minutes, both of you, an intense and rigorous program that has to meet standards set by outside agencies, but is also flexible enough to adapt to the wants and wishes of the student population at the same time. That's an amazing statement to make.
Yeah, it's absolutely a priority.
Go ahead, Dr. Monda. It sounded like you were going to say something.
Oh, no, I'm good.
I want to ask you both one last question. And, you know, this year has been especially challenging across, I would think, in a lot of disciplines, but I would think in the psychological disciplines as well. It's equally challenging both for the professionals and for the students and for the faculty. So I was going to ask you both in turn, what are the lessons you've learned from this year that you hope to apply moving forward as we go, hopefully, post-COVID? So Dr. Monda, we'll start with you. We'll put you on the spot.
Yeah, I mean, the lessons are endless. I think we're still learning, and that the pace that we're learning these lessons has come really fast, but I think it's all good learning. And so I think one of those for our profession is the value that telehealth can bring. So prior to this COVID year, telehealth really wasn't accepted, and Dr. Panda can talk a little bit to it, where, you know, some people were doing it, but it's my understanding, it was not a sanctioned thing that insurance was covering. And now it's become a standard way of practicing. And, you know, I think meeting in person and working with your client face-to-face is obviously the way that we want to operate. But when you have people who are maybe unable to get to a service, maybe they're a single parent with kids living in a situation where they can't get to an appointment, or, you know, if they're an athlete on the road, or they're working in a rural community where there just isn't access to a provider that has the expertise that they need, it's providing a really amazing outlet that we just didn't have before. So I think learning about that, and we've spent some time working with our students. Last year, Dr. Panda hosted like a telehealth webinar for our students, and they've had some speakers to talk a little bit about that and to help train them better. So in addition just to the coursework, we're helping them address to some of those modalities. So we've learned a lot about that in the last year. I think we've also really realized across the discipline how valuable that psychology and mental health is. If there's anything that we've seen, and Dr. Pan and I talk about this a lot, that the after effects of COVID and the pandemic and how it's going to impact people of all levels, is it's going to be on mental health and well-being. So our profession and what we're doing is so important in training people to do this, because the need is going to be so great, and it already is so great. So I think we're just learning how important our jobs are in training the future professionals of this field who are actually going to help people live, you know, more functional lives and work through the difficulties that we've gone through this past year. And then I just want echo the term adaptable, and just I think we've all learned how we have to be flexible, and we have to keep inventing ourselves, and we have to adjust and adapt because that's how you get through tough times. So in whatever capacity or role that I'm in, as an administrator, as a counselor, as a teacher, I just keep reminding myself how important it is to adapt.
Dr. Pandit, how about yourself?
Yeah, I would echo what Dr. Monda just said, you know, that the importance of adaptability has been a really important professional lesson this year, and that there's more than one way to meet a goal, right? So with the example of telehealth, as a practitioner and practicing for over a decade, I never did telehealth, but I had to switch because I have a number of patients that have underlying diseases that made it really important that they take extra precautions. And so in order to be able to continue to assist them, we had to switch to telehealth. And that switch, which was, you know, later in the early, mid-spring last year, most of our students on internship placements had to make that switch as well. And so that adjustment at first was a little rough because it's a lot to kind of adapt to and change and traditionally how we conduct therapy face-to-face. But they did it, and everyone adjusted. And now it is, you know, much smoother. But I think the kind of the dedication to make it work no matter what, and the grit to be able to say, if it's not working this way, I'm going to try it this way. But knowing that our primary goal is to assist in helping people who come to us that are struggling with mental health and finding a way to make that happen during this year when so many different things changed.
And I just have to say that it's amazing to hear you both talk about this because you are modeling exactly what you're asking the profession to do moving forward. And it's just utter kudos to you guys for doing that. And where can they go for more information about both the programs and the department?
Yeah, I think that the first step is that you could talk to either of us. So our contact information is on the RMU website. We have some information about our programs on there. And so you're welcome to contact myself or Dr. Pandit at any time. My email address is Monda, M-O-N-D-A, at rmu.edu.
And mine is Pandit, P-A-N-D-I-T, at rmu.edu.
That's great. I just want to thank you both for joining us today. It's been a great conversation, and I know people have learned a lot. So thank you so much. And I want to thank the audience for joining us for Colonial Connections. And this has been a terrific example of what the School of Nursing Education and Human Studies is focused on. We're really looking to blur the lines that separate the community and our campus. And we're looking forward to our next episode when we bring you another example of Colonial Connections. I'm Dr. Mark Myers, the Dean of the School, and thank you for joining us. Have a terrific day.